Another one.
It's episode 102, and it is fitting as hell because it's about 102 degrees outside right here in Toronto, Canada. Ladies and gentlemen, it's time. Let's go.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Oh, my.
Hello and welcome. We are the Godfathers of Podcasting. It is Thursday, June 16th at 8.02 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, and we are broadcasting live right here on the Godfathers of Podcasting.com. And in case y'all didn't know, we've been podcasting since before podcasting was even called podcasting. That's a true fact. As always, archives of this show are available on every major podcast provider. Just check your favorite one. We're there. If we're not there, it's probably user erroring. You just don't know how to search your shit. But you can always email us and say, hey, you're not on my favorite podcast provider. And within 24 hours, we will be. Video archives of this show are always available exclusively on our website, godfathersofpodcasting.com. And when you're on our website, buy some merch. You can interact with us right now by sending us a text message or WhatsApp. The number's up on the screen. It's 437-375-2000. Send us your thoughts, your questions, questions for our guest, whatever you want. Just get at us, 437-375-2000. Ladies and gentlemen, my name is Donnie Da Silva, and if these two men were in the NBA, they'd be superstars Jaylen Brown and Jason Tatum, and I'd be Mississauga native Nick Hot Sauce Stauskas. This is Notorious T.I.D. Chris Tidwell and my bro Danny O.
Wow, we're just like throwing out like just huh today?
Huh?
Yeah, how many people are going to know that
reference? I put you guys over, called you Jaylen Brown and Jason Tatum, and I'm the guy who gets 1 minute in the game.
Are we going to end up winning the NBA championship?
Not tonight.
Yeah, but is
mathematically
that
impossible?
Of course not. But is that your predictus?
It's been my prediction since before the series started.
Boston?
Yeah.
For real.
It's not the popular prediction. And right now with Golden State having a chance to wrap her all up tonight,
yeah,
in game six, it's definitely not the popular prediction. But I just listen, if all things are equal, I think Boston's just a better team. Mm. I think Golden State, without question, has the best player.
Okay.
But I think when you look 1 through 9, Boston's better. Now, part of that is getting suspended by the fact that Toronto native Andrew Wiggins is playing the best ball of his life. Mm-hmm. His life, bro. I've seen this kid play since he was 8. He never was this good. He's playing the best ball of his life.
Well, you know, Steph Curry has a Toronto connection, too. So I'm just going to brag on behalf of the city.
Yeah, his wife went to my high school.
States looking good. And he was here for a minute. He went to high school here.
He played rep basketball for the Brampton Warriors up in just west of Toronto.
There you go. So we're claiming him.
And his woman went to my high school.
There it is. So Toronto's going to win the NBA championship, basically.
Yeah, well, it's you know what? The funny part is it's amazing how many Canadian players are playing at such a high level nowadays.
Yeah,
you know what I mean? Like it's good to see for Canada, absolutely, because you never really thought of Canada as a basketball powerhouse. You know what I mean? But they've been turning out some really, really solid NBA players. So
well, the FIBA program will be going again this summer, and I mean, listen, the last couple years. It's great because the NBA, the men's national program for Canada, it used to be, if you're in the NBA, you're on the team.
Right.
It doesn't matter if you're Samuel Dalembert and you're the 13th best guy on your team. Mm-hmm. If you're a Canadian, you're in the NBA, you're on the team. You're on the national team. Now they have to cut guys in the NBA.
Right.
Yeah. Not a few guys, not like one or two, like a lot of guys, you know.
But most of those guys can go get work on Drake's league now, right?
Why is every rapper gotta have a league? Ice Cube's got a league, Drake's got a league, you know.
Is Drake playing though? Because Cube ain't playing, is he?
No, Cube's not playing. Cube's just the owner sitting in the press box.
Hey, yo, side note on the Cube thing. I did see and we're talking about Canada at the same time, yeah. I'll give you two guesses as to who's going to Casino Rama this year.
Like to Ice gamble or Cube. To perform?
No, oh. To perform. Ice Cube is going to be a Casino Rama.
No way.
In Ontario, Canada this year, man.
So okay. He's at that stage wow. of his career.
Wow. Really?
He's yeah. at the small town casino stage of his
I
career.
I cannot picture that at all.
Well, dude, I went to the stage in Aurelia, and that's it.
I have imagined it. I saw the Jacksons there. This, of course, is post Michael. And yeah, I was like, why are they playing this? I was told to sit down by an old guy behind me because they came on stage and started doing Can You Feel It? And I was up feeling it. And the old man is like, sit down.
Oh, wow. You know what? Oh,
I got core, bro, because I'm like, I'm at a concert. But it's pure old people with Casino Rama
no.
passing to earn points.
Yeah, man.
To what?
Right? See, this is what I'm saying, because if you think about it for a second, you were like, holy shit, Ice Cube is going to an indigenous reserve casino, yeah. and it's going to be full of so many white dudes.
Seniors.
95-year-old white dudes.
Straight my up. Age, but still, you know.
Seniors. Fuck you. So two things that come to mind from this. Number one, the last time I was at Casino Rama, I was with Tid, and I was forcibly asked to leave by security.
That was your own fault.
But true story.
Hold on, I got to hear this. What?
Listen, no.
Okay.
I wanted to watch.
Yeah, he started pissing people off, and then I, as always, was way too loyal and went over the top. So by the time he had cooled down and didn't care, I was still pissed.
I just wanted to watch the fights. And they didn't have a way to show the fights, so okay. I pulled them up on my phone. And then, right. you know, we got a little loud, and we were watching asked nicely to leave. So, and that's all the rest of it. I'm telling that story on the air.
That's the only part that's getting told on the air.
Mm-hmm. You can use your imagination for the rest or call me later.
The other thing you guys just brought to mind when Dan's talking about seeing the Jacksons and getting told to sit the hell down is 2 weekends ago, I went with my bro Danny O to celebrate his brother getting married, and we all went out to a Blue Jay game. And there was what, Dan, like 20 of us all there?
Yeah, 22 deep.
We were running thick, taking up row after row after row, had great seats, had a good time. The Jays beat the living piss out of the Twins. Yeah. Just
what was the score?
12-3.
Yeah.
This is a pattern this year. Y'all knowing this? Like the amount of runs being scored, bats are hot this year.
I got a news update for you.
Right?
The Jays are good.
No, not just the Jays, dude. I'm talking in Major League Baseball all around.
Oh, like, I'm not paying attention. So I'm not a degenerate gambler.
Well, I mean, I'm paying attention.
Oh, yeah. That's where it is.
You should be.
Yeah.
At least add the gambling to your name. I mean, already.
Didn't cover.
I was like, wonder how he knows what's going on in MLB. He's got money on shit.
Like, one thing to bet on sports. You're a degenerate gambler when you bet on baseball. But all that being said,
how much money did you win on baseball this year?
$0.
I'm up.
when we went to the game, you can imagine there's 22 of us. The Jays score 12 runs, multiple homers on every hit, bro. Yeah. I'm talking to you, Tid, because Dan was there. On every hit, where all mans are standing up, high five. Yeah, we're singing songs, we're going bananas. And the usher.
Oh yeah.
Usher was there?
This woman who works at the dome.
Usher probably
says to me, "You guys need to stop. You're disturbing other people. You need to quiet down."
Why?
Well, that's all we needed.
I don't understand how in the hell anybody working a sporting event could use keep it down as something you tell fans. I have a better story for you, though, because I was at a home opener. I'm at every home opener. And I was at one year with my brother. And this woman in front of us, Jays fan too, because Donnie just made a point. We sing, we cheer, we heckle, we go all out and have a good time. There are times
but keep it clean. There's no cussing.
Always clean. Yeah.
No nothing.
It's always clean. It's funny. We get the people around us laughing.
Our whole section.
We
was
started
cheering,
chants. Dude. We started waves. Whatever. Right. I even got people to scream out, you know, for my brother getting married. All of it. Yeah. Now I did that, save for the marriage thing, at a home opener once, and a woman sitting in front of us wearing a Blue Jay. Jersey. Okay. So okay. she's on the tee, turns around and looks at us and goes, "Will you guys shut the fuck up?"
Ooh,
and I was nope. like, "Yo,
ooh, now it's time now, to crank it up."
It's funny because you just told nope. the story of how Tid had to chill you out. Well, that's what happens. Usually my brother is the loud and obnoxious one. Yeah. Not on that day. My brother was telling me, "Dan, she's had enough. She's had enough, bro." Because I was dealing with her case. She's sitting in front of me, so my hand claps are by her ear, and I'm and like every time there was a hit, I'm like, "Calm down, everybody. She needs quiet." And finally, her dude, who's sitting there quiet, turns around and stands up and go, "What are you gonna do, bro?" Sat right back down. Listen, I'm 5'6", but I turn Donnie's size when someone talks some shit, bro.
Well, yeah, it's called that standing on the fucking seats.
Yeah. It helps.
And you got the upper hand on the person, so you're already
that
like, you know,
I did have
you're looking way down on him. Yeah, no, I get it. Yeah.
That's a high ground, Obi-Wan.
Message to everybody. This includes old people at Ice Cube concerts at Casinorama, people at Jays games. You shut the fuck up. We're having fun.
That's right.
An event where you're supposed to be making noise. Anyone who wants
it's not just
at any concert or sporting event, stay your ass home.
I literally turned to that usher and I'm like, "Are we at church? Are we at church? Or are we at a ball game?" And so then on the very next hit, I turned to the whole crew because they're like, "Yeah." And I'm like, "Guys, shh."
Oh yeah,
but I'm real ignorant with it, right? So then they all drive, shh. So now our shushing is louder than our cheering, and but the whole crowd around us is dying of laughter.
Donnie lives to get in people's asses at live events. We were at a WWE event, and this guy was shouting at a child. "Jesus, not an animal. Animals don't wear suits." I'm like, dude, he's six.
He was not six. He was a cocky teenager.
He was a mutas.
Yeah, sure. Listen.
Bigger than
it's
you.
It's not just, it's pretty much, listen, I've been asked to keep it down when we were in Dallas at a football game.
Wow,
right?
Really?
Against like Philadelphia. No, dude, I went into Dallas wearing my Philadelphia sat in a Dallas section and got asked because apparently, you know, profanities aren't allowed in football in Texas when you have rapists on the field. Apparently they don't like when you point that shit out to them. And yeah, by the time it was all said and done, we almost got into a fight there. Like, it's not just baseball. This shit happens at all sporting events. Sure. People just don't know how to have fun.
Right.
One guy who knows how to have fun generally and never responds when he gets shushed is Montrezl Harrell. Montrezl Harrell. Formerly of the Los Angeles Lakers, where he played with LeBron, formerly of the Washington Wizards, where he played with Bradley Beal, and then was traded midseason to the Charlotte Hornets, where he did nothing. Montrezl Harrell is now an unrestricted free agent and may be forced into early retirement because a couple days ago, he was busted in Kentucky with 3 pounds of weed in his car, man. Pounds of weed.
What's the problem?
Yeah, that's what I want to know.
that's a Tuesday for Tid.
Do you think he wants to be buying like dime bags every day? You know what I mean?
Yeah,
like he's like, "No, I go buy, I do it." Like, "Oh no, we had a problem when everybody was hoarding toilet paper. Maybe he's just hoarding weed."
You know, when I go to the grocery store and buy rice, it's a big ass bag, bro. You
right?
put that big ass bag away, you got rice for a long time.
The problem is
keep getting weed every day.
The problem is twofold. One, in the state of Kentucky, weed is still illegal, even for recreational use. There are not dispensaries on every corner like there are here in Toronto.
Yeah, I forgot that it's illegal.
And number two, when you have that amount, they consider that you're trafficking.
Yeah, exactly.
Whether or not it's all his, it's too much. So the penalty is up to 5 years in prison.
Really? That's foul. I'm sorry, man. I've never, as a non-smoker, I've never understood ever. What actually I do understand, because it's black men like him who are generally caught with that kind of shit, and that's why the sentences are so damn high. And it's statistically proven that brothers get higher sentences than their white counterparts. That being said, weed has never killed anybody, and guns have.
But they got to. Well, I'm saying we need to get more of these drug dealers off the street, damn it. And and bring
back
that
on
shit
the
to
basketball court.
Bring that shit to my house.
It's weed. I swear I never want to hear nobody talk about weed and put in jail for weed. Honest to God.
Yeah, but the okay, that's so stupid. That's fine. That's your thing. But we got to be real here. We're talking about a state where it is still illegal. Will it be decriminalized at some point? Sure. Can you then have the conversation about releasing people who've been arrested on various weed charges? Fine. But even here in Ontario, where weed is legal for recreational use, you get caught with 3 pounds, your ass is going to jail. You can't have 3 pounds in the trunk of your car, Ted.
As he thinks of a hiding spot.
Yeah. They check my lungs.
There are people in jail.
I'm going to hide it all in my lungs.
That's where it currently is, isn't it? 3 pounds? That's a Thursday morning. There are people in jail for violations that are no longer violations, and they shouldn't be in jail.
Listen, I mean, it is completely legal. It's completely legal for recreational purposes in the city of Las Vegas, Nevada right now. Completely legal. Dispensaries everywhere, just like Toronto. And that is the exact reason why I live in Canada, because it wasn't that legal when I lived there.
And the sheriff said, you better get it the fuck out of this state quick.
Mm-hmm.
But you still
it was 3 o'clock high.
You know what? Talking about Montrezl Harrell, I wanted to touch on arrests of other celebrity figures this past week. David Koechner of Anchorman and Office fame arrested for a DUI. And Jeff Hardy, professional wrestler, arrested for yet another DUI. He was almost five times the legal limit in Florida.
Come on, Jeff.
Almost five, not in Florida, excuse me, in Carolina. He was almost five times the legal limit. David Koechner, I watched his arrest video. And they're doing the field sobriety test. And I'm like, my man's fine. Packer's doing good. He's just, he's fine, you know? And then they got to the last test. Like, he's doing the track the pen with your eyes.
Right.
My man's good. He's doing the walk heel to toe, 9 steps. My man's good. And then the cop says, put your hands at your sides and lift 1 foot 6 inches off the ground and count 1 1,000. 2 1,000, 3 1,000.
Hard to do sober.
So he goes 1, 2, 3, and his foot goes down every second. 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, and the cop's like, okay, take a break. Start, pick up again from where you left off. Do you remember where you left off? Yeah, 4. Yeah, 4. He's like, okay, just one more thing. Stand over there, put your hands behind your back.
Oh, man.
Like, fuck, bro, say less. Say less.
Yes.
Why do they do the field sobriety test when they can just do breathalyzer? Are there states where they have to field sobriety you before you're allowed to breathalyze?
And why don't they just start with that
That's test? What I'm saying. You know what I'm saying?
That's the one that's the hard one. We'll get them with the leg up. One.
Yeah. Why are we doing leg up circus tricks when we have technology that just goes, yep, drunk.
Here's my my question. How is it that these guys are so stupid, these actors and actresses, and that they all of a sudden they don't know how to act? Just act like a sober motherfucker.
If you're legit drunk, I don't know how easy that is, but
the cops, you're telling me that none of these guys have showed up on set a little bit fucking like, and had to
I've never been, I gotta say, that's next level technique, because I've never been in an acting class where they go, be drunk and act sober. Here's the technique to do it. I would love to know what that is. That come in handy.
That's your next class. That's next semester.
That is next level.
Wild
drunk.
It was funny because at first the cop was a little starstruck with David Koechner.
I'm saying, if I saw Packer, I'd be like, dude, can you do that scene from the episode and let him off?
But take there's that whole, that whole body cam thing, you know, with the like, right, you're free to drive away, drunk guy.
Yeah, those days are gone. That's what it used to be. Those days are gone.
Right.
You would think, though, man, with all these body cams, you would think that the police would be more on their game. But all the body cam is showing is how on their game they are not.
Well, to that,
because it's crazy. They seem to catch all of these like drunk drivers and everything like that.
No
but
problem.
When they're beaten on somebody on the street, all of a sudden the cameras don't seem to be working.
Yeah, that's when they misfunction. Mm-hmm. So speaking of police, services, Dan made a comment earlier about Black people being more likely to be bothered by police. Well, there's a huge story in the news right now in the Greater Toronto Area. And if you're not from Toronto, you're tuning in from somewhere else, you may not be aware of this story. So allow me to elucidate. Toronto Interim Police Chief James Raymer came out this week and had a press conference and apologized to the Black community. They started collecting data in 2020 that was gathering racial information on police interactions. Prior to 2020, they didn't gather this type of data. It was just like, you know, Joe Smith, age 45, had to talk to him, told him to get lost. You know, they wouldn't write down Joe Smith was Vietnamese, you know, whatever. There could be a Joe Smith who's Vietnamese.
Yeah, I was just going to say.
It could happen. So they started collecting data in 2020. What they have found is that in Toronto, the Black community is twice as likely to have a police interaction. 1.5 times more likely than members of the Caucasian community to have a gun pulled on them for similar incidents. Interim Police Chief James Raymer said, "We recognize that when a person has an encounter with the police, it can have a profound effect on their life, their mental health, and their trust in policing. It is for this reason the Toronto Police Service must be a driving force and a leader in eliminating all forms of racial discrimination in policing and anywhere it's found." Raymer did say that this data will not be used to discipline any specific officers over the last 2 years. It was anonymized and meant to examine systemic racism. That is the first step. He said there are already, hang on, I see you, man. There are already internal systems, watchdogs, and processes in place to deal with any officer misconduct. Overt racism will not be tolerated. Beverly Bain of the No Pride in Policing Coalition said, "Black people do not accept your apology." And that was it, saying that, you know, this should have happened years and years and years ago. I have a lot of thoughts on this, but Dan, you already have your hand up. So,
yes, Mr. De Silva, I saw that in the chapter entitled "No Fucking Kidding." Here it states that Black people have known since, according to this, forever, that they have been disproportionately harassed by police, arrested by police, brutalized by police. This goes back decades. It actually goes back even centuries. It is no secret to any of us that we have harder times with the police. It never has not been that. Okay, and I don't blame her for not accepting an apology, because this is part of what is systemic about racism. The system makes it so that it is harder to be a person of color. So you could literally be doing nothing. Trayvon, I know this is not Toronto, obviously, but Trayvon was murdered, and apparently him wearing a hoodie was enough cause for him to be chased down and murdered by George Zimmerman. There's story after story, and many of them don't make the news. Right. Like that was headline news. Many of them don't make the news where, you know, I have personal you might know this already, Don, but like members of Monolith going back decades were accused and falsely arrested. And all you need to do is have someone accuse you of something you didn't do, or to be somewhat suspicious, or to look similar to what, and you don't get questioned. See, it's funny the way that he even poses, like they've been questioned or they've been whatever words you use. It's often violent episodes, right? And obviously, as you know, I could go on forever, but the truth is this has always been the case. I'm glad there's some light being shone on it, but make no mistake, this is nothing new. We didn't need data from 2020 to figure this out.
But here's my response. I agree with everything you said.
Okay.
I agree with everything you said. But when a person like, what's her name again? Beverly, I don't want to screw up her name. Beverly Bain. When Beverly Bain comes out immediately, knee jerk, before the press conference is over and releases a statement, goes, "We do not accept your apology." Here's my problem with it. Because of an attempt to either appear not racist or try to appear like there was a sense of equality, like, you know, for years and years, like when we were kids, the slogan was, "I don't see color." Mm. You know, everyone's the same. I don't see color. Right?
Yeah.
And because of that mindset, it was considered ridiculous, like offensive, to gather race-related data as it pertains to police interaction. They couldn't gather this kind of data. So while what you're saying is true, everyone in the Black community has long known this. Agreed. Mm-hmm. Until you have numbers where cops look at, because a cop could go, "I'm not like that." And he might be telling the truth. And another cop would be like, "Well, I'd do it if I need to." You know, like until you see the data as a picture, you cannot respond to it properly, and you cannot action change. So I give them credit for going through the process of collecting data and now making it known they are prepared to action change. Well, whereas in other parts of the world, North America, the US, they're like, "No problem here. No problem here. Yeah. Business as usual. No problem here."
I can't speak for Ms. Bain, but I just want to make a comment about the action change. I think it would have been better if the press conference involved some action change, including certain cops, perhaps, who needed to be reprimanded, because you came out with an apology and a "but we're not doing anything about it yet" type of statement. And that's what I think might be the hurtful thing.
Well, they did state.
Yeah, "we're going to" isn't having done something yet.
No, but in the press conference, they talked about, "Here's our plan of action. This is what we're going to do. Things are going to change. This is not acceptable.
I think
this will not be tolerated."
I think Black people are just in the world of, "Okay, we'll see."
Sure. And that's fine. And
you've got every right, like every right to say it. Absolutely. And to feel that way. Absolutely. Because this isn't the first time that things like this have been said, but there's never been actual proof that is out there, you know what I mean, in the numbers that Donnie's talking about, that if it doesn't happen, it can get thrown back in their faces, right? So, like, there has to, at some point, like, what is the acceptable first step in making this change?
The first step is acknowledging the fucking problem.
No, I'm not talking to you, Whitey. I'm talking to Dan. You know what I mean? What is the acceptable first step, in your opinion?
Well, one, like we were saying earlier, and this isn't directly correlated, but, well, actually it is directly correlated. There's a lot of people of color in jail for offenses that other people not of color have committed that they're not in jail for, or the sentences are a lot greater. So this goes beyond just the arrest process. It's the judicial process that lays down those sentences. That's going to be a big part of this, because there's a several step process in the way that Black people are treated by law enforcement. And one is to be falsely accosted, often detained, beaten, etc. And then the second is, even if and when there are legitimate charges to be pressed against someone who has committed a crime, that the sentences be somewhat even across the board when they're not. So, to be honest, I'm not sure what the first step is, but there are many steps to take here. And I'm just saying, man, that it's been like this forever for our community, that to hear this is still like a, "Okay, we'll see." Because what confidence do we have that change is coming?
After they need a Ben Crum up here, Dan. That's what they need. They need a Ben Crum up here.
Ben Crum.
Gentlemen, it is time right now for our big hello and to welcome this week's guest. And he is no stranger to the program, as he's been on the show a couple times before. And I know I've personally interviewed him many, many times before. He's definitely a favorite around here because he has, absolutely no chill. As a college basketball player, this man averaged 23 points and 11 rebounds across his three-year career and has had his number retired by Ohio. He's a nine-year NBA vet who played for the Blazers, the Raptors, the Mavericks, and the Wolves. And for his career, get this, he averaged 16 points and 8 rebounds per 36 minutes, which tells me PJ Carlissimo, Darryl Walker, Don Nelson, and the late Flip Saunders, y'all done him wrong and should have given this man a little more TikTok. They were afraid to release the beast. These days, in addition to being the unprecedented drip king and watching his son play for the Toronto Raptors when they're in season, he also coaches and is continuing to help grow and develop the next generation. Ladies and gentlemen, by his own admission, he's the guy who's always last to leave the strip club, least likely to reach for the bill when you go for dinner with him. And if you try calling him and he doesn't answer, he's probably getting another goddamn pedicure. He's one of the toughest men in the history of the NBA, the Shaq of the Mac. This is Gary Trent.
What's up, man? How you doing?
Good, dude. On, how are you?
I'm okay. Pulled up to this restaurant and put my name on the list so they could get me in because I knew it was going to be a few minutes because right now 7:30 everybody doing rush hour for dinner.
Do you ever not pull the, you know, maybe wear an old jersey and be like, do you know who I am? You never run that to get into the restaurant?
No, never. I most of the places I go, people know me because I frequent it, not even really through sports.
Gotcha. Right.
You know, maybe more of the managers as opposed to some of the young kids who are waiters and whatnot, because, you know, restaurant hostess, things of that nature, high turnover jobs.
Mm-hmm. Now, I'm guessing you're not an In-N-Out Burger. What five-star joint are you hitting in Minnesota tonight?
I'm at this little spot called Doolittle's. There's a lot of rotisserie. It's a nice solid restaurant up here. I don't know. I don't think it's a big chain, you know?
Right. Listen. If you guys out there do not follow Gary Trent on Instagram, just follow this man and watch when he posts stories, because my man lives well. He is living the type of life that all of us should aspire to in retirement. Like, look at my new whip. Look what I'm wearing. You know, he's up at the club. He's having a good time. He's looking at girls and what shoes they're wearing. And like, this bitch is fucking jacked up.
No, the lineup is clean, too. I'm jealous.
Yeah, he just got lined up today.
Oh, yeah. I got lined up early. this weekend is my last basketball tournament for my fourth grade team. So I took my kids to the barbershop, and we all just got lined up today. I take them, and I'll be taking them, getting them manicures and pedicures, too. Got to get them groomed up early, man.
Yeah, because you never know who you're going to run into at a fourth grade basketball game.
Hey, yo, they got to be out there feeling good and looking fresh, man.
Right.
You know what? You're not entirely wrong, because I'll tell you, I've coached high school basketball, both boys and girls, and there was times, like, you know how it is, right, Gary? You're at a tournament. You're playing three games in a day. When the first game is over, the first thing the kids do, they take off their shoes, they put on their flip-flops, their slides, and then you see, oh my God, this kid has got some jacked up toenails. Like, this kid is a mess.
Also, being an athlete, I want them to understand, you know, like, because I give my kids, like, foot spray and, you know, things of that nature, because as an athlete, you develop a lot of habits, you know, using a lot of towels, spitting in the shower, maybe peeing in the shower, blowing your nose in the shower, just, if you play football, you don't blow your nose on a football field. You know what I'm saying? Just a lot of things that come with an athlete. When you're in that zone, you're in that moment, blowing your nose and nothing don't matter. You might blow your nose on your jersey and keep playing, you know? So I just want them to understand the habits. If you're going to be an athlete, you know, you got to your feet. No matter what sport you're playing, you got to have your feet. So, you can't be getting foot infections or, you know, ingrown toenails and things of that nature and whatnot. So just – teaching them how to groom themselves and, you know, do your hair in the morning. Because, you know, sometimes with little boys, man, they'll hop up and just roll out. You know what I'm saying? Right. You know, little girls want to get dainty and cute, but little boys, they don't really care about looking fresh until they start liking girls. Like, come middle school, you want to be fresh. But, like, fifth grade and fourth grade, I'm rolling with my friends. We riding bikes. We dirty. We don't really care.
You know, oh
my
Gary,
God. My fourth grade, Dan already had the high top fade, and he had his hands around the girl during movie time in class doing his seatbelt move.
Like, come putting here, girl, it all out there.
Yeah, I
what,
know your
what. What I thought seatbelt. You were gonna tell him, because these guys like to get on me about my personal hygiene habits, and it seems like Gary, we on the same page Bro. When it comes to that, man. Like when?
Okay.
No, I'm just saying. Can you fill these guys in? Because these are. I don't know what
I usually guys. Like. I go get me a manicure, pedicure every like 5 to 7 days.
Wow, that's fresh,
dude. I feel when like did... you guys are nowhere near on the same page, because I'm gonna go bet right now that Gary Trent ain't hopping in the shower to spray out his booty hole every time he got to use the toilet, Dan.
Yeah, I am.
Yeah, thank you.
I got a shower. Listen, if I do number two, I got a shower, man.
There you go.
I just can't wipe and keep going, bro. I got to take a shower.
You see how they do? They don't understand how brothers.
My wife, be getting mad. Like, we done got showered, got dressed, and be ready to go. And I'm like, oh man, I got this. She's like, you got to shower again. And all this, like, you know.
Yeah,
that's why you got to get one of them bidets, Gary. You got to get one of them bidet attachments to your toilet.
I don't know. That's kind of, you know, I'd rather wash my ass. That joint kind of shooting you, up you man. A little bit, almost douching you a little bit. I'm cool on that joint. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, Gary.
Might need a bidet with a little mist or something to it. Because that there water might be shooting a little too hard.
There is not one person.
He's right.
Watch, there's not one person watching this live show right now that tuned in to see Gary Trent and thought he was going to be talking about his pedicure regimen and washing his ass. Only on this show.
Hey, straight up, man. You got to stay fresh out here, man.
There's a fraternity of us ass washers, and we don't appreciate all the fun you make of us, all right?
That's the grossest frat house ever.
I want to see those t-shirts.
Fresh.
Yeah. Hey, Gary, I got to ask you, my man, how much of the NBA finals you been watching?
I've been watching them all, man. I have told a couple of friends I thought Golden State was going to win it in six for the simple fact they've done it too many times, and there's moments of uncertainty with people in life and just in situations where you haven't been in, that moment of uncertainty costs you that 1-point game or costs you that 3-pointer. Because if you look at the last game in the last couple of minutes, Tatum was missing back-to-back free throws and things like that because them guys are tired. Every time Jaylen Brown, he's exerting himself to go to the hole so much. Look about how many times he drove, slid on the floor, made a pass from off his back type baseball pass joints because he just – going too hard, and I think they handle the ball so much because they don't have a Rondo or a Chris Paul. Like, they're kind of like guard. The point forward. So they're like
point guard.
That's what I'm saying. So they're like they're dribbling and trying to make something happen, and that kind of wears them down a little bit because they were doing that to Iverson early on in the career, making him be a point guard. He got to bring the ball down under pressure, throw it to the wing, then come off the Iverson cut, then do a dribble pull-up, then split somebody. It was wearing them down. So that's where Eric Snow came into play, to where Eric could bring it down. Al could just lightly jog or barely get up the floor. And then when it's time to go into the run to play an execution, they could run it, you know?
Mm-hmm. They don't even need – like right now, Boston doesn't even need like an all-star point guard. They just need a credible – NBA quality starting point guard. You know what I mean? That's all they need.
Yeah.
And they don't have one on the roster. And all apologies to Marcus Smart, great player. He's not a point guard. He's just
not a point guard. You could have, like, they need maybe a Lowry, Kyle Lowry.
Oh my God. The series would be over.
Yeah. Or maybe not somebody of that magnitude, but still just something to stabilize them a little more than what they're doing.
Right. Lowry
was too high. I'm gonna tell you somebody that could make that work though.
Who that?
I think somebody like Tyus Jones.
Oh, 100%. That kid's gonna
He's a backup point guard, but on a team like that, you know, he's backing up Morant.
Yeah.
But I think you know, I watched him in high school, man. He was always penetrating to the hole, getting it to wherever he wanted, and finding somebody. And I think the way he would stir that drink over there as the point guard, those guys could really benefit from that because now he could be bringing the ball down and getting Tatum and them to their spots, and then they get the ball and go into execution. you know, Tatum and them got to bring it down and try to score and try to create. And, you know, you expecting them to be two-way players and four-position players. You know, we got to play the point, got to play point forward. Then you got to come down and guard a power forward or a small forward, switch off on the two-guard, chase Steph. It's a lot of energy they're exerting out there, man. And I think just Golden State being there before, like, you look at Draymond's stat sheet, the shit that he does to affect the game don't really be about the stats. You know, the antics, the starting shit, getting guys ruffled up.
Right.
You know, he came in the other game, 6 minutes left in the game. As soon as you come in, you want to take the ball from Jason during the timeout. Just shit like that.
That was just asshole moves.
Yeah, but you know what, though? It affects certain people and it affects guys. And I'm going to tell you, guys can talk all that shit. Y'all can find Draymond. You want to hit him in his mouth. You don't want that. So that's all. That's it. That's all that is. All that shit you keep doing, all them antics, ain't nobody hits you in the mouth is why you keep doing it.
I saw a funny stat after the last game that said Jason Tatum has more turnovers than anyone else in the history of the NBA playoffs.
Wow.
Damn.
Yeah.
How? And, he been that many times?
And you know what? It's crazy, but that highlights exactly what you're talking about. They don't have a point guard. So they're expecting him to, and then you see the casual fans that go, Tatum's not a star. He's shit. He can't do, and I'm like, look, Tatum is money, but no,
Tatum is trying to be everything, and that's the problem. I'm trying to be everything. Okay, we ain't got no point guard. I'll bring it down. I handle. I do this. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
That's all. They just need somebody to stabilize what they're doing. But now, if you go get a point guard, who do you take out of that starting lineup?
I mean, there's a couple options. They're starting two centers right now. You could change that up. You know. Although maybe, I like that against Golden State because Golden State has no
time. At the same time, that's been part of their success, though, because they've been winning with that.
I agree. I like it, actually. I'd probably bring Marcus Smart off the bench again, like they used to do.
The defensive player of the year, you're going to bring him off the bench?
Ah, fuck him.
You know what I'm saying?
Fuck him.
Like, he's probably your best perimeter defender, though, or he's going to be the guy that you can't do that, though, because he's the guy that has to help Jaylen Brown save energy.
I know.
He has to take that number one wing assignment or that point guard assignment that Jason can't. You think Jason or Jaylen can chase Steph like that and still come down on the offensive end? Hell no. Nah. You know, Steph coming off 8 screens of possession.
I feel you. Mm. I want to switch from the NBA Finals for a second and throw something at you because obviously, Junior, your boy, the apple of your eye, he killed it this season. Just absolutely killed it. One of the league leaders in steals in the league.
Hold up. So let me ask you something. Let me mention this that nobody's talking about, right?
What's that?
Now, Marcus Smart got Defensive Player of the Year.
Mm-hmm.
My son had more blocks and more steals than him. So I want to know what the criteria is for Defensive Player of the Year, or at least – I'm not saying my son should have got it, but you should have got a mention, a second team or something. If you got more blocks and steals than the Defensive Player of the Year and you can't get a mention or a one vote from the media, like nobody in Toronto even voted for him.
I got news for you, man. Like, I personally think that there are a couple of Raptors that deserved mention at least for all D. You know, Gary would be one of them.
Hold up. Think about it. You fourth in the league in steals.
Yeah.
You fourth in steals. And you got more steals and blocks than the Defensive Player of the Year. So I want to know, what's the criteria for Defensive Player of the Year then? How do you get the rebounding title if I average more, get more rebounds than you?
You know what the criteria is. It's narrative. That's what it is. It's narrative. And it's all the demonstrative bullshit that Marcus Smart does, you know, that gets
exactly
the attention
my point,
of the voters. I agree with you.
But at the same time, there should have been at least a vote by some media, like one vote from the media. You got no votes.
Well, they made it so that you're not allowed to vote for players from your town.
Right? Okay.
The Toronto media are not allowed to vote for Trent. So they made it. It's not like they were like, fuck our guy. Yeah. They're not allowed. But the narrative around these awards is so asinine. But I want to ask you this. There's a lot of talk at this time of year, as always. Trades are already popping off.
Uh-huh.
There was a big one that was announced yesterday. Houston literally just gave Christian Wood away to the Mavs. Just gave, here, take him. Whatever
they
you got.
They got a lot of picks, didn't they?
They got one pick, end of the first round, for in a bullshit draft that's three guys deep. And then they got like Boban and like a couple of expiring contracts, right? That are just filler. Yep. They basically gave him away. And so there's all kinds of stuff going on right now in the rumor mill, right? As always at this time of year. On the Toronto side, because we're based in Toronto, your boy plays for Toronto. The biggest rumors going around is like, what is Toronto going to do to improve their roster? Fans that keep clamoring, we want a center, we want a center. I'm personally of the mindset Toronto Raptors don't need a starting center. That's my personal belief. I think
yeah, you do.
I personally think they don't. I think they're just going to clog shit up. If it's a center that can't shoot and you know, he's just like a traditional old school center, I feel like it's going to clog
shit up. No, I'll say like Rudy Gobert.
Well, that's a rumor that's out there.
The reason I would say Rudy is because he's going to set the pick and roll and give you clean looks. But it's always going to be hard to win in the East if you got to go through Embiid and he's going to be overs and you got power forwards trying to play center to guard him.
I feel so, you, but at the same time, Embiid versus Gobert one-on-one for their career, Embiid averages 24-14 against Gobert. So what are you really improving?
But Gobert improves the team's overall defense, so you get better seating. Also helps the perimeter guys press up a little more because if they get beat, they know they have a shot blocker or a shot block attempt guy behind them. Like, you don't be afraid to press up. Like, that's why I like Pat Riley's defense. Them guys can press up on you because they know Zoe don't care if he get dunked on or not. You're going to have to dunk through me. You know what I'm saying? When your center is going to play with that attitude, then he allows everybody on the perimeter to be aggressive. You know what I'm saying? I'm not saying Rudy Gobert would be the savior, but you can't tell me a guy who has that type of plus minus that many times defensive player of the year, I believe he could go to any team and improve their defense, especially being an athletic long guy who can run. You know what I'm saying? There's not too many centers out there doing with what Joel does. So, you know, he's the biggest guy in the league. He's got great touch, a lot of LaJuan type footwork and all that. So he's a one of one in the league. So it's not like he only killing Gobert. He averaging damn near 25 against everybody.
That's my point. There's no Gobert. There's no Embiid stopper.
Yeah, but that's what I'm saying. So that's why he's not there to stop Embiid. He's there to make that team overall better. You make Joel work harder, but those guys like Maxey and those other guys can't get off because now Joel has to take all the shots. Y'all can clog it, dig a little bit, because I truly believe at the beginning of that series, if everybody was healthy, Freddie was healthy, my son was healthy, they would have beat them guys. You know, it was too much, too far in a hole trying to dig out emotionally, dig out physically, fighting sickness and gaining weight, losing weight, you know. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I'm curious to know what the family vibe is about the team, Gary, because you mentioned Fred VanVleet, and he was in the media this week talking about how he would love to be a Raptor for his entire career. And I just wanted to get thoughts about the family vibe about Toronto, because I know your son's been having a great time as part of the team, but where is he at right now in terms of his overall vibe with the team, the city, and how happy he's been since the trade?
I mean, my son doesn't want to leave Toronto. You come to Toronto,
good.
First time in a career, you're a starter. Coach is calling your number. You know, you're getting field goal attempts. City is nice. I mean, you got a nice contract. So as far as he goes, Toronto, why go somewhere else?
Right.
That's how he's looking at it. Like, what am I going to go somewhere else and do besides the same thing?
But you know the mindset of NBA fans, right? Especially, Toronto fans are no different than a lot of other cities. But they know that Gary's expiring, right? His contract's going to come up. So they look at it and go, all right, Gary and Fred and apparently OG are the three guys on the trade block if you're going to maybe pick up a Gobert or someone of that ilk. And I'm thinking to myself, if you lost Junior or if you lost OG or if you lost Fred, in order to get Gobert, I feel like you're creating a bigger hole to fill a hole.
Yeah.
Because their spacing is already bad.
If you're going to lose, your all-star, and Freddie, you know what I'm saying? Like, you're replacing an all-star center but losing your all-star point guard. Right. You know, and you definitely got to have some guard play. So, you know, they gotta come up with some type of drafts or some other guys and mix up some guys, but you gotta give the Jazz something. They're gonna want something.
Yeah.
I agree, but to me, if they're gonna get a center, I'd rather see them go after maybe a young blood, you know, who's not making $27 million that you don't have to gut your team to go get them. But I don't know. We'll see what's out there. But let me ask you this. You're around the team a lot, right? Like a lot, whether it's there in the stands watching games or whatever. Has there ever been conversation either initiated by you or the team like, hey, senior, come work with us. Come work with the guys. Because you've been a coach before. You've been a coach in the league.
I've never been approached or engaged in that type of conversation. You know,
does that interest you?
If I was to do something like that, it'd have to be spot work because I got my younger sons here and I'm developing them and coaching their teams and doing things of that nature. So to take a job and leave them would almost – I wouldn't be fair to them because I didn't give them the same opportunity that I gave Gary. Mm-hmm. You know, I went to Syracuse. I went to the broadcaster school training. I did all that, you know, color commentary, radio. I did that stuff. I went there. Shaq went there. I went there with Antonio Daniels. So I went through all that process. But, you know, once I did it, you know, I did that year coaching with the Timberwolves, and I realized, like, if I do this for the next 10 years, like, my kids are just going to be cool with everybody in the league, but they'll never have a chance to be in the league. So
right.
I never really pursued any of that. I'm not putting in applications and shit and looking for callbacks and all that. I'm just at the game. My goal is to just get all my kids healthy, educated. If they play ball, make it to the league, cool, and just go around to their games and chill. You know,
man, yo, a few days away from Father's Day, I just want to shout you out and rate you for being the father that you are. That's big.
I appreciate it.
That's big. Yes, sir.
I'm just saying, man, like, if you can't be there on a regular basis, I feel like there's some dudes on that squad that could learn a few of the dirty, filthy tricks that you got in your back pocket, man. I'm watching these finals and I'm watching former Raptor 905 player Gary Payton's son, and I'm watching this kid and I'm like, this guy has every dirty, filthy trick in his dad's playbook, every filthy, dirty flop, every like, I'm gonna lock this guy's arm when he goes and the ref's gonna call it on him. He's got everything in his bag.
Playing hard though, man. He's playing hard. And that's what he's supposed to do with that passed down knowledge. You know what I'm saying?
Agreed.
Use it to your advantage. As long as, you know, it's one thing to play physical and rough, but it's another thing to play dirty. You know, there's certain things that aren't really considered dirty, like hooking your arm, pulling your jersey. You know, dirty would be like trying to, like, on some injury shit, or you going up and not do something goofy towards your knee or some stuff. That's gonna have you like ready for some smoke in the hallway after the game, you know.
Mm-hmm. Who's the dirtiest guy you ever played against, and why is it John Stockton?
man, you know, I didn't really. I say Carl.
Carl? Yeah. Well.
Yeah. He did a couple dirty things to me on a couple different occasions. You know, like one time when I was younger, he like saw me coming and we made eye contact, and he like deliberately elbowed me in my chest. Another time he like tried to take his knee up on charge, you know what I'm saying? Like trying to put his knee up type shit. So yeah, you know, he was doing shit like that. You know, I wouldn't say Stockton, I would say Carl.
Well, Stockton, I know. I mean, Stockton was a dude. Dennis Rodman once told me in an interview, he said he went to go play up. He was hedging hard on a pick and roll. And when Stockton was trying to get around Carl, he gave Rodman a little backhand tap right in the nuts.
Oh yeah. See, know? that type of activity now, you'll be caught on camera.
Mm.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, it was caught on camera back then, but now it's too much 8K zoom in on your, you know what I'm saying? 8K zoom on your eyelashes, so they gonna know what you done.
Yeah, right.
Before we fly, Gary, I think Tid's got a few questions he wants to throw at you. Rapid fire.
You know, they were such a hit last time, so I want you to put your cap back on again, because we're going to talk about the people you played with, the people you know in the NBA, and we're going to ask a few questions like, out of all the people you know that you played with, who would be the most likely to get lost in their own hometown?
Most likely to get lost in their own hometown? Probably Indy Eby.
Oh, wow. That's a deep cut.
All right. Yeah. Who would be the most likely to eat something off the ground?
Ooh.
As he searches the ground of his car.
I'm looking for my keys under the seat, man. I fell out my pocket.
You're looking for a French fry right now.
Nah, man, I got my keys. I can't cut my car off and shit.
That would have been amazing if he lifted a fry right now.
Oh, man. Who probably? I don't know. Probably one of my goofiest teammates would have been Michael Ola with Candy.
The Candy Man.
Yeah, he's pretty goofy.
All right. Who's most likely to fart in a theater and blame it on you?
Oh. I don't know.
Garnett.
Nah. Kev ain't playing them type of games.
Tremendous. All right, I'm going to give you one more. I'm going to give you one more before we go. Who is the most likely to give their kid the most unusual name?
Ooh.
The most unusual name? I would probably say Oluwa Candy again, because if he, you know, he African, so he probably will come up with something real out of the ordinary as opposed to what we would be used to here.
Mm-hmm. I mean, you give all your kids crazy-ass nicknames, so there is that.
Yeah, definitely. Not, but if you was in like in America in the hoods here, them is like common nicknames almost. Mm. Like I gave my kids some basic nicknames considering what be going on here, like Man and Lil Kiki. Like it's a lot of names that you'd be like, what? Like, you know what I'm saying? I gave my kids like more cute names, Fat Baby. You know what I'm saying? Yeah.
not like when I was a kid, I had a nickname, it was Shithead.
appropriate.
Gary, thank you so much, man, for your time.
Hey, I appreciate
always.
It, man.
Enjoy dinner. Go get that. Go
catch
get
back
that...
up with me soon.
Yeah, man. We'll holler at you. I still think, for the record, the Celtics in seven. That's still my pick. I'm sticking with it.
All right.
But we'll see what the hell happens tonight. Game starts in about 1 minute. So, thanks so much, man. We'll talk soon.
Yes, gotcha. Sir.
Say hi to Junior for us.
Yep.
All right. There he goes, everybody. Gary Trent Sr. It's still weird for me to call him Gary Trent Sr. Because I've known this dude for like, well, I mean, I was a fan of his when he was a player, but I've personally known him for like 2 decades. I've interviewed him dozens of times. And then when his son came up on the scene, it's like, so now I can't call you Gary Trent no more?
Yeah, you have to add the senior. Yeah.
But you always associate senior with like old. And he's not.
He's not old.
You know what I mean? True.
He very quickly, as we say goodnight, I'll tell you this very, very fast. I was hosting a basketball show years ago, back in 2014. He was on the show, and Gary Trent Jr. joined the show as a teenager. And senior says, this is my son. He's about to commit to Duke. And this kid is going to be a star in the NBA. And, you know, when a dad says that, it's like, all right. Yeah. Michael Jordan's kid was really good, too. Yeah, you know, so and then I remember saying to Junior, I'm like, so if you play one on one, what happens? He goes, I'll fucking smoke him. Mm-hmm. You know, and Seeger was laughing. He's like, you can't beat me yet. And
right.
He beats him now.
Yeah.
He beats him now.
No doubt.
Been a lot of fun, folks. We had lots of stuff we wanted to talk about that we did not get to. And we had phone calls and, excuse me, text messages from you that we did not get to. But the show just, the pace this week was just hot and fast.
That's how it is.
And we got wrapped up in just talking shit. So as we say goodnight, my bro Danny O, anything you want to plug, anything you want to promote, anything you want to throw out there?
I just want to say it was appropriate to have Senior on, given the fact that Father's Day is this Sunday. I'm wearing this for my pops up in heaven. Happy Father's Day to all the fathers out there, all the real fathers out there this weekend.
My man, Ted, you're going to go smoke 3 pounds of weed in honor of Montrezl Harrell?
That's all I can do. And we're going to hit both months at the same time with Father's Day. So shout out to Magic Johnson and his kid this month. You know, you go out there and do your thing, boo.
Okay. On behalf of my bro, Danio, and Notorious T.I.D. Chris Tidwell, my name is Donnie DeSilva. This is episode 102 in the books. We are done this party. We'll see you next time when our special guest will be Al Johnson. See you next time. Okay, bye.
Fuck this shit, I'm out. Mm-mm. Fuck this shit, I'm out.
No thanks.
Don't mind me. I'ma just grab my stuff and leave. Excuse me, please. Fuck this shit, I'm out.
Nope.
Fuck this shit, I'm out.
All right then.
I don't know what the fuck just happened, but I don't really care. I'ma get the fuck up out of here.
Fuck this shit, I'm out.